comic.com here at the 10th anniversary of the Calgary Expo. I am sitting here with Jim Zub. Jim, how's it going?
It's going amazing. This is the best show.
You're here every year, aren't you?
I am, actually. Yeah, I'm really proud of that. I'm as far as I know, I'm the only guest who's been at all 10 Calgary Expos. So I watched this show grow from like a very tiny little one-day show to a four-day monstrosity, one of the biggest in North America. I couldn't be more proud of Kendricks and the rest of the crew that put it together.
It's even just in the last, 3 years? I mean, it's just exploded.
Seismic.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what I think they're shooting for over 100,000 for sure this year, but I think they said like 125 tentatively.
Really?
And last year was like 97.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. I mean, seriously, I remember the first year they were like wondering if they'd be able to break 1,000 people. They'd be like, oh, maybe we don't want to lose our shirt on the show. Hopefully it'll go well, you know?
What do you got going on right now, Jim? I know last week or the week before you had, like, what, 5 books come out on the same day?
Yeah, we had it was a bit of a log jam of shipping. IDW had some delays, and so I had 6 different things hit the store on the same day. So it was the Wayward Trade, Wayward number 6, the latest Munchkin issue, Samurai Jack. Uh-oh. You know it's bad when you can't remember all the Conan Red Sonja.
There you go. That's the other one. Yeah.
Just like, what did I do? That one, Skull Kickers, of course.
Skull Kickers,
yeah, so it was this great... Yeah, just this whirlwind of releases all on the same day, right before I went to the Seattle Emerald City Comic Con.
You had more than enough stuff to bring while you were there then, I guess.
Yeah, it's been 2014 was a very prolific year. It was wonderful.
You definitely saw your name in a lot more places. Like, you really
blew up. Yeah, a lot of cool opportunities, just a lot of stuff that I love working on. So it's been just an amazing year, and sort of feeling the kind of ripple of that as stuff comes out in trade paperback and things. So
let's start with Skullcrackers would be your longest running now.
Sure.
Where are you at as far as that goes, because I heard, is it ending soon? Is that kind of what I heard?
Yeah, so Skullcrackers, we're in our final story arc, so that's called Infinite Icons of the Endless Epic, although it is the ending. And so it's our big wind up. We're going to be doing a ridiculous over-the-top finish, bringing back a lot of the old storyline stuff and random bits that I think people assumed were not connected, and we're going to be all tying it together in this massive, ridiculous, action-packed, story arc, kind of summing up the whole sort of Skullcrackers experience. So our 33rd issue will come out, and then just for fun, we're going to be doing, instead of issue 34, we'll be doing issue 100. So we're jumping ahead, basically, to show the glory of the future for our final issue. Edwin's been, pouring his heart out into the pages and just trying to really give, readers a satisfying, ludicrous, over-the-top finish.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about it, but I'm a little behind myself.
No,
so.
No worries.
Way too much stuff. You should have to ask my wife the size of my stack. She's worried it'll kill us every night we sleep, so... and then Samurai Jack is also ending.
Yeah,
right?
a lot of stuff wrapping up. So Samurai Jack number 20 is our final issue, and we got permission from Cartoon Network, so we're doing a possible ending for the series, like what could be the ending if they don't go back and do any more animation. So we got to do this really epic finish. Andy Soriano, who's been the artist on the majority of the issues, he was one of the designers of Samurai Jack the show. He's been pouring his heart out into it. He's really, we're both so passionate about the series, and the response from fans has been wonderful. So this final issue, which is called Mako the Scribe, is sort of this this scholar trying to understand the legend of Jack and sort of take all these disparate stories and form an understanding of who Jack is. And through that, we're going to hopefully, be able to do like a coda on the series.
I remember seeing the cover when it was first announced, that he's like sitting in the big chair and he's
like
looking all old and stuff. Yeah, it's really, really cool.
Style, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's one thing about your books for sure, where there's never, not to say like bad art.
Oh,
you
sure.
Know I mean? Like,
I know
everybody's,
what you mean.
Everybody's definitely always right up there, like top.
Absolutely. I think, like, I have an art background. I started in animation, so I love being able to collaborate with artists and also bring that into the conversation as well. This is what I do, or give them a better understanding of what what I'm looking for in terms of the vision, and then be able to speak their kind of language as we talk about the editorial.
He's here every year. You'll definitely see him.
Always here. They can't get rid of me.
That's true. They tried, right? You were down there,
right.
Now you're down here next
that's
to
right.
the door, right?
I just shift around. They won't invite me. I'll just be behind a table clinging on.
Just like walking with all your books, like must, somebody table.
Must Calgary.
I'm here now.
Yeah, that's right.
Jim's here. What else you got going on?
My new series, Wayward. Yes, so that launched in August. Our first trade paperback came out last month. The response has been amazing. For anyone who doesn't know, Wayward is a new Image creator-owned comic series. It's sort of like Buffy in Japan. So teenagers fighting Japanese mythological monsters on the streets of Tokyo. We're having a blast working on it. It's going really well. It launched strong. Our readership is really excited, and we're just building off of that momentum now. So our second story arc is underway, and we did a exclusive cover for issue 6 for the Calgary Expo, and it's been moving really briskly, so I can't...
It's a fantastic cover from...
Max Dunbar,
there we go. I couldn't think of his name. He's sitting right next to us but I couldn't think of his name. The response, I know, even just from our site alone for Wayward, has been really, really good. Would you say it's probably your best series to date, like, as far as reaction goes?
Yeah,
like,
and honestly, it's been probably my best-selling. Like, Wayward number one sold more than Samurai Jack number one. Like,
really?
Yeah, it's been crazy.
And that's a crazy good IP.
Yeah, and for a creator-owned series and a new IP, essentially, that's a real, you know, it shows you the power of the excitement that people have for creator-owned right now, and the kind of momentum that Image has been getting for their new, you know, series launches.
Yeah, you know what? Every number one from Image, I would say, is at least worth checking out.
Oh yeah,
without a doubt. I mean, and they seem to give enough love to everybody, and it's always cool to see, like, you know these creators are friends, for example, and they'll advertise each other's books.
Absolutely.
And you know what I mean? Cool stuff like that is really, really.
And then, you know what's great is the variety of genres and the variety of art styles. The Image is just such a great collection now of creators doing books that they're passionate about, you know, and that's what really drives me. When I'm there, I feel so good about the fact that everyone who's making a book there, they're not, I mean, I love doing contract work, I love doing work for hire, but Image books are, you know, they're passion projects, and you can see that on the page every time.
Absolutely, and I mean, and Image gives them a lot of free rein as well to kind of... you know, just to do what they want, and you know, if it sells, they'll pump it. If it doesn't sell well, you know, you got to trade at least out of it. And
yeah,
eventually,
at least you put it out there. You know, absolutely.
What's do you have an overall plan for Wayward? Is there like a finite ending? Are you going to see how it goes?
Yeah,
wait for trade sales to come in.
Well, we know we're going to do, like, obviously we want to have a nice stable readership, so we're going to see how the single issues move through the second arc. But at this point, I couldn't see us doing less than 4 arcs. We've got a nice, solid, you know, momentum so far.
Thinking in the typical 5s, right?
Exactly, right? So minimum of 20 issues. I would like to do more, and the story can handle more. There's a big thematic structure to it, and it's sort of going to, based on the sales and the strength of it, that'll determine how big we go, essentially. So the story works in 4 arcs. It could work in 6. It's just how kind of big we can pull back and play with that structural... See, I can't give things away, but with some of the big picture ideas that we're working with, will really be based around how consistently we can, you know, build that audience.
I'm always curious about the back end of things as far as working with the publishers go, and I know you're very, very honest.
Yeah.
A lot of the times, I've read a lot of your little articles and stuff, and they're really, really, you know, insightful. When it comes to doing something like that with Image, how, like, do they automatically sign you on for X amount of issues and then say, okay, we'll see how it goes, and then go afterwards? Like, can you even talk about that?
Yeah, no, there is no... I can talk about it, for sure. There's no set sort of structure. The contract doesn't contain a commitment for a certain number of issues. We discuss that kind of stuff verbally, and it's assumed to roll over on a month-to-month basis or trade paperback basis. This is how, you know, the deal works, essentially. And they want you to be happy. You know, they're sending you the financials, and you're getting paid after release, and so you can see very quickly whether or not it's going to, you know, whether it's stabilizing or whether it's falling off in terms of those sales numbers. And then it's a matter of looking at the money coming in and saying, is this viable? Do we keep it going? You know, plus there's also what are called accruals. So twice a year you get your trade paperback sales, your digital update, and all sorts of stuff like that. And so in some cases you can have a book that's borderline safe, but then the digital will take you over, you know what I mean? Or the trade paperbacks will keep you viable. Or foreign sometimes, you know, if you sign with another language, like a publisher in another language, that's a little influx of cash that you weren't necessarily anticipating.
And is it still work through Image, through like a France publisher,
right,
or something,
right,
like that? And so it still counts towards your numbers?
Yeah, well, it's not sales numbers. It's usually a negotiated deal, like a flat amount, possibly a royalty.
Yep.
Every publisher is a little different, but Image negotiates the deal with you and, you know, gets their share, and then you get the remainder. So.
Okay, so yeah, so it's not as much of a stickler as like a Marvel where it really seems like Marvel, it's like, okay, if you guys sell under like 9,000, like that's it, you're done no matter what.
You got to keep on, there's a huge corporate overhead structure that has to keep a Marvel book alive, right? There's the everything from the offices to the executives to the, and that's because it's a huge IP company and they have all that structural infrastructure that they have to keep up. You know, Image is lean and mean, and that is a very good thing the vast majority of the time, but obviously there's advantages to having corporate stuff as well. I mean, it's no harm having Disney as your marketing arm and, you know, stuff like that. So it's not, I have nothing against corporate publishers. I have nothing against work for hire. I love doing that stuff, but they're different. You know what I mean? And what's ideal for me is being able to do both, because then I learn from work for hire stuff. I can put myself out there. I can be involved with properties that I love. And, you know, then I've also got my outlet for me to be able to tell the story exactly the way I want, when I want, you know, on a creator-owned book.
Absolutely. Yeah, obviously they're two different sides with the same coin. But speaking of work for hire stuff, there's also the Conan Red Sonja with Gail Simone and
Dan
Panosian. How is that going? You guys are doing five issues?
Four issues. Yeah, I'm all done. See, it's like whenever you've got a series coming out, especially a short run like that, before the first issue's coming out, we're usually wrapping it up. So it's weird. People were like looking, oh my God, you had six books come out. You must lose your mind. And I was like, actually 5 months ago, I was losing my mind because that's when I was writing them. You know what I mean? I'm cool now. I'm good. Samurai Jack's done. Dungeons & Dragons is done. Conan Red Sonja's done. Munchkin's done. Skull Kickers is almost done. You know, so I've actually got a lot off my plate, but they still haven't all come out yet. So it looks insane, but it's all stuff that I was working on 4, 5, 6 months ago.
Right, yeah, like I remember like Charles Soule, for example, you were seeing him and he had like four books from every publisher and his own and this, and you're just like, man, how do you
do that? Well, he did like, I think on that DC Villains month, he had like 10 or 11 of them, but they were done months and months and months in advance because they knew they needed those ahead of time. So it's the kind of thing where, you know, on release day it looks insane, but you're sort of, you know, building up a buffer of material.
So I guess with all this ending, are you focusing on Wayward? Do you have a lot more stuff coming down the pipe? Obviously comics is very secretive, but
I don't have any. I've got an announcement coming. They're going to tease something, I think, in a week or so.
They being
Marvel. So I can't say much more than that. And then I've got a couple pitches that are in, and I'm waiting to hear back on. But creator-owned wise, I'm focused on Wayward right now. Really want to hunker down and try and stabilize the audience and make sure we got a nice solid run.
When it comes to like doing your pitches, do you have a? I don't want to say a preference per se. Like, do you just say, okay, everybody, here you go,
and whoever? Which,
when you're pitching a new story, do you just like, hey, I know this is a good Dark Horse book, I'm just gonna pitch it them, or I know this is a good Image fit, or is it like kind of a everybody, hey, I'll talk to everybody who's
I really try and look at the publishers who have material that's going to really, you know, gel well with what I'm doing. So I want to look and say, okay, you don't want to just pigeonhole and say, well, this is a Vertigo or a Dark Horse or like a one-stop shop. You'd like to be able to pitch it to two or three publishers, but there's a good amount of variety out there, so you can do so. You know, you could say, well, I'll pitch this to these three or four. Wayward was pitched to a few different publishers, actually, and we decided to go with Image.
So, yeah, I mean, you've worked with pretty much every publisher, a lot of the main ones, right? Like, all over the
place. The only company I've never done a book with the top 10 would probably be Oni, but I know all those guys and we're good friends. So it's like, yeah, I have had a book at... It's such a weird thing to say that. Yeah. Without trying to sound cocky, yes, I've worked...
Jim's been everywhere, no big deal.
Done work for every major publisher in North American comics, and that's weird. Yeah.
When you really think about that, I mean, there's a lot of great, great publishers too. Yeah. All right, well, is there anything else we want to talk about?
You know, as always, I've got my stuff on my website, JimZub, JimZub.com, so JimZub.com. I've got a bunch of tutorials, how I write scripts, how I pitch my story ideas, some of the economics of the comic book business.
Which are all really great and you should check out.
Oh, thank you. And I've got information about new upcoming stuff on there and interviews and links to all my books. You know, Wayward is coming out from Image monthly. In between story arcs, we have, you know, like a 2-month break. But otherwise, we're coming out on time. We're kicking butt. I hope people give it a shot.
I love that break design, that idea. I don't know if Saga started it. I feel like they were one of the first ones to do it.
The first ones
maybe the biggest one. Yeah.
And then what it does, you build up your buffer, and you also have the trade come out, so you can build your readership a little bit.
Yeah, it's absolutely genius. I wish like even Marvel could follow that.
Yeah,
that would
totally.
Be great to try to bring lots of people in. I appreciate it, Jim.
No problem.
You are an absolute pleasure. I see you here again every year.
Absolutely.
So we'll bug you again. And
I'm here like a barnacle. I'm just on the side of the SS Calgary Expo.
That's he just lives here. You
That's
know.
Right. There's this little tent they have in the convention center, and then I just open it up during the show and go back to my hovel. It's good stuff.
Go back to writing.
That's right.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim.
Take it easy.
Comic.com here at the 10th Calgary Expo. I'm here with Tyler Jenkins. Tyler, how's it going?
Really good, thank you.
It's going to be weird calling you Tyler Jenkins because my name's Tyler, so I might just call you Jenkins the whole time.
That's fine.
You're probably used to that by now.
Yeah.
So what's going on, man? What are you doing right now?
Right now, I'm actually inking pages from Neverboy issue 6.
That's Dark Horse with
Sean Simon writing and Kelly Fitzpatrick coloring. She does great work. Yes, they're both phenomenal collaborators.
She started coloring your work on your other book, Peter Pan's Files. Right?
Yes, she colored the.
Because you were doing it initially.
No. We've had two other colorists, Heather Breckel and Alex Salazzo.
Right, there you go. Okay. I thought you did some of your own colors there for a while.
No. Yeah. No, not at all. The only coloring I ever did, like actually in published stuff, was I colored some of Riley's work in Proof. A million years ago.
Oh yeah, okay, I remember that. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Proof is good stuff, too. We're talking about Neverboy, and we're talking about Peter Pan's House. I really, really like Peter Pan's House. I was really late to the party. You actually gave me the first couple of issues when you were here 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just hooked ever since. What happened with Peter Pan's House? Why? Where's the other issues? What's going on?
Where we're at?
The deal? Where are you at?
Where we're at is... we've got 4 trades out. We have 2 issues left to do to finish up the last arc. And that wraps it up. Issue 25 is our last issue. And issue 24 and 25, we're just taking forever to do them. Mostly because sales and making enough money to live on. You know, that's why I'm doing a lot of other stuff at the same time. And this is the way it's worked out. Yeah. It's not... It was certainly not an intention to delay it and make it slow, but it happened because it had to happen.
I remember at one point you guys had like Frodo and like Ron Perlman doing like a voice acting thing, and like that. Did that all kind of just disappear? I mean, there was a point where like on eBay, Peter Pan's House number 1 was like $150.
I know, it was ridiculous,
like insane. And then you got it dropped. Like, is it a lack of advertising from Image? Because I noticed I haven't really seen it from Image anywhere.
Like, no, I don't think there's any advertising from Image, like, really. But I don't think the biggest... I think the theory that's that Curtis had and that's been put forward and been confirmed by quite a few retailers is that with the BBC thing happening, that was all like speculator collector market. That's where that was. That wasn't those $150 page. It was not like fans. It was like a speculator thing. And what happened is that it because there was such a high demand for it, is what I understand anyway, that a lot of retailers ordered a ton of books, and then we're still waiting. I mean, it's still in production at the BBC. Like it's not dead by any means. But this thing takes forever. So it's kind of that market sort of imploded as far as that demand. So all these retailers would get burned holding onto all these fucking books that, you know, really were not for the fans anyway. And so that causes, like, it was awesome, and I'm not complaining about it, but it did cause some weird difficulties that were totally unexpected by us. I mean, we had no idea that was going to happen. We didn't know anything about that, right?
Yeah.
It's only after fact, looking back, you're like, well, how did that even, what does that even mean? And we didn't even, at that time, both me and Curtis were so green, we didn't even know that there was like a speculator collector market. We're just like, good fortune, it's gonna last forever. We didn't know what we were talking about.
Well, you know, it's funny. You hear that, like Valiant Comics just had the big announcement about their big movie deal, and all of a sudden everything's like $1 million for a freaking book. And yeah. It's interesting to hear the other side where it's like, we weren't expecting that. It didn't really affect us at all. It was just, you know, these assholes were selling the book for crazy money trying to jack up from kids that were actually interested in probably reading it.
Yeah.
And which I hate. I hate speculators. just bonkers. You know, it's interesting to hear the other side of that, where like the creators are like, yeah, that happened. We were aware of it, but it didn't affect us. Like, we didn't, you know, we never, our checks were bigger. We didn't get $150 per issue or more or whatever.
No, it didn't affect us. It affected us. Like, we got way more money for obviously sales for the actual comics because way more copies were being sold. But it had like side effects too. Like, sold a lot more like original art pages because of the speculator kind of thing, thinking that someday my art will be worth $1 million. Boy, are they fools.
Yeah, you should show them, you know. You got out of
I
it,
I sure
right?
showed them, right?
And speculator, right? You got the money, you walked away, that's it. You're good. Forget that, man.
I still actually have hope for all of us, because I still got a shit ton of that both pages left.
You've done a lot of work for there, man. Like, there's... I don't doubt, but, I mean, you don't even have any pages here, do you?
I don't, actually. I don't have any pages here.
I thought you were, like, completely out.
No.
You sold all of it, man.
No, Court Chabot is my rep who sells all my art,
right.
And I send it all to him, and he handles it this way. And he didn't come to this convention, so I got nothing to sell.
why wouldn't he come to this convention, Tyler? Why?
We're not even going down that road.
Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Well, you asked me, why would he come to this convention?
I'm not even going down that road. No, you know, the Calgary Expo is, they do some good stuff. And it's good
they
to
do.
See you here. Some good stuff. It's good that you're here, at least. You know, it's good we got Connor next door.
Yeah,
you
know, right, standing right here.
We got some guys. He waves.
He's
you know,
waving
you,
at
you
us.
You can't
right
see
now.
The wave.
No, he's doing other things. You can't see that either, thankfully.
Connor, put your pants on. So okay, let's move back to Neverboy here. What is the official plan? Are you still hoping for six?
It's a 6-issue mini.
Take a trade break and then come back.
No, like as it stands, it is a 6-issue complete story.
Complete story done. And
will there be a sequel one day? I don't like. It's not. It has nothing to do with this. Like, this is one piece, and that's as far as we've thought or looked at or anything else. It's at least as far as I've looked at it. I mean, it's a 6-issue miniseries, and it's done.
And you said you're working on 6 right now, right?
I'm working on issue 6 right
okay.
now.
What, do you have anything then afterwards lined up? Like, you got, you know, 10 more secret stories? I mean, obviously nobody can say anything in comic books. Cause it's
I've got, retarded, well, I'll fucking say stuff.
Good.
I've got pitches out everywhere. But I've got an unannounced title, a crime book coming out. We start production. It'll be like the first month of 2016 when it comes out, but it's coming. It'll be right now. It's called Grass Kings, and it comes out. We'll start production on it at the end of the summer. So right now, I've got like 4 months where I'm putting projects together and stuff like that. So yeah, no, there's lots of hopefully lots more stuff coming right away here.
I hope so. I mean, Peter Pan's Palace. Like I said, I really enjoyed it. I'm waiting desperately for the other two issues.
I know.
I want to
like
finish
such
it up.
A dick, when I come to these shows. You'll get your fucking issues.
Shut up. I'm drawing it. Shut up. It's Curtis's fault, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
He's writing too many books now. He's too big. You know, Rat Queens.
I cannot blame on Curtis. I actually have the script for 24 sitting on my desk.
Every day he picks it up.
It's not his fault. It's absolutely not his fault. This is totally me dragging my feet.
You know what? It happens. I don't know. What else do you want to talk about, Tyler? Because you got so much great work, and I want you to do so much more stuff. I want to see your work like everywhere.
I want to see my work everywhere too.
Especially I would like to see more of this. I would like to see that last continue on.
You want to see more Peter?
More Peter Pan's Palace. I thought that was really really good. I really like your designs. And you know what? It's funny reading the first trade, and then going to the second one, and your growth as an artist just within those first couple of trades.
I appreciate that. I'm
like,
really happy to hear that.
You know, it was really good. I remember doing a review, and I don't remember the number. I want to say 17, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe 15. And you had some scenes where it was just easy scenes. Like, it was the hills and the snow and trees and like, most people would probably be like, man, because there's no writing on it, right? And I remember sitting there and just kind of staring at him and taking it all in because it was just, I mean... you'd improve like a ton. And obviously the coloring was really good. I don't know if Kelly did the coloring for those.
Which issue was it in?
I want to say it was like 15, 17, somewhere in and around there, maybe.
I can never remember what happened and what issue.
But yeah, it was a lot of scenery. Maybe it was a little earlier than that.
Yeah, I think it was.
Maybe it was during the hook arc. But
yeah, it was in here.
Yeah, there's some of them there. And he's flipping through it.
This is colored by Heather.
Heather, okay.
Yeah, there's the snow stuff.
Yeah, that's some of the scene stuff the there. Some of the stuff. Weird. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, this was colored by Heather.
Yeah. It was awesome. That, like, the panels that people take for granted, I feel.
That's by far my favorite stuff to draw.
Yeah,
the quiet moments, the talking, the. Like, the action stuff is fun. I mean, I like drawing action stuff. I like drawing all of it. But the real quiet stuff, I find, I love drawing that stuff. The talking and the just walking around panels. I mean, that sounds really boring, but they can be really, really fun to draw. You know, because it's about all that. It's actually about the acting, like really subtle acting. You know, it's really, I love that stuff. That's my favorite stuff to.
Well, and I mean, a lot of the time, that's really hard to get. A lot of comics where they'll try to plaster with words and, you know, there's no backgrounds and they try to hide that kind of stuff. Not enough setting up shots. And like I said, I mean, whether that was just you, just Curtis, both of you together, it just all worked really well. It set the mood really, really well. And
My favorite books are like there's tons of great examples of that kind of stuff. Like any Hellboy book, there's tons of like just standing around shots. They make, that's what makes those books. You know, Scalped, there's tons of ones where it's like all that setup, Preacher, all that just standing around is what makes those comics special. I mean, you know,
not like the 90s where everything had to be fighting and action.
Not explosions. My thing. Absolutely not my thing.
You need more explosions in all of your comics, Tyler, and then you'll sell. Okay.
Well, I don't mind drawing explosions, but I don't want to draw them on every goddamn page.
Well, you have to, and then you'll be big. Yeah. All right? Yes, that's the deal. Yeah, 100%.
Okay, well, that's fair.
We're bringing the '90s back. Also, chromium covers.
No, we're not.
Hey, man, if Kirkman can do it, you can do it. Come on.
Neverboy would do a cool. That would be a cool chrome cover.
Yeah, with those colors. That would be
one of Connor's covers.
Dude, number six, chromium. Go for it. Push him.
Push him. It's not up to me, but it would be rad.
Chromium trade. Take it one step further.
Chromium trade. Right. That would be rad.
That would be good. You don't see that, man.
I will definitely send that idea up the chain. It's going to come right back.
Dark Horse is going to see the email and go.
I don't think so.
No, delete. This is not happening.
This is another one of those waste of time emails he keeps sending me.
And his other series is also preemptively canceled. And no 90s for Tyler Jenkins.
Damn.
You're talking about some really good books. There's some older books right now. Are you reading any series right now that you really enjoy? You like taking any influence from some of the newer stuff, Image and
Southern Bastards is probably one of my favorite books.
Jason.
Yep, Jason. The Jasons, amazing. Of course, as soon as you ask me,
they all go. I know they all go out the window. Everybody, I know. Yeah. I'm reading 20 Image books, and if you ask me right now what they were, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Not a word.
Yeah. No, I know.
Saga. I don't know.
Saga. Yeah, I've read. I'm not up to date on Saga, but I've read the first two trades. Amazing.
He's got nothing. He's giving me the face of ask another question.
Or give me some ideas.
Give me some ideas.
No, don't do that because I don't have to say no. No, I don't read that.
The new Rumble even for James Heron and stuff.
I fucking love the art. I haven't had a chance to read it, but. Gorgeous.
That, you know what? James Heron takes it to another level. The stuff that he's done on BPRD, but I mean, even just the last Black Flame arc, he's done even like another step up from that.
Awesome.
So that you need to check out Rumble. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Top of my head again.
I'll definitely check that out. Yeah.
Okay, so when are we going to see you on a Mignolaverse book then?
Well,
when that happened?
I would love to do that.
You got your foot in the door, Dark Horse. Now
I've definitely mentioned it discreetly to everyone I could possibly mention it to.
They have enough books now. You know, BPRD is not ending for another. I don't know what they're doing. Another couple of years, I think. They officially said the third arc, the finale of the second arc starts on 130, which came out last week, I think. And then five books or something, and then it's over. And then Plague of Frogs ended, Hell on Earth, and then now there's something else. And it's done forever.
BPRD's done forever.
Apparently. No. He's always.
The new Hellboy book is awesome. What's it, Hellboy 19? Was it 1945 or 1952?
52.
Yeah,
Believe and stuff.
Well,
that's good.
Oh, that's so good.
I feel like they should just keep putting those books out, you know?
Yeah.
Dark Horse, should just change to, Mignolaverse and just...
Oh, yeah. If they want me to draw someone, I will.
I'll bug Ob and I'll bug Scott. And
cool.
We'll see. They'll be like, you run some website. Go away. Like, shut up. He asked us for Chromium covers, and we're saying, no, we're not letting him draw Hellboy.
Yeah, push anybody you can. That would be great. I would draw anything in the Mineral Verse, of course.
We need some trees and some scenery. I'm done. Okay, okay. We're there. I'll and some skulls.
In.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I really like chatting with you. It's really fun. It really,
absolutely.
Really is.
Thank you.
You're an absolute pleasure. I don't know what else to talk about right now, because now I'm just thinking about all the cool stuff you could draw in the Mineral
Verse. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, and now all his sketchbook's going to be full of it now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I think that's it. Is there anything else? Where can we find you on the interwebs? You're not much of a Twitter guy, I don't think.
I am on Twitter.
You finally followed me. It took me 3 years.
I know, that's embarrassing.
And I had to like schmooze him and compliment him, and then he followed me.
It's not.
It was out of guilt.
It's not intentional.
It's out of guilt.
I don't do anything out of guilt. It was out of idiocy. That's more likely.
He was an idiot to follow me. I understand. That's okay.
That's not what I said.
Oh, man. Do you know your Twitter handle? What is it?
Jenkins_Tyler.
There you go. Okay. Even I had to think about that. I always type it in.
I couldn't get it. Like the last interview, I couldn't remember. But it was with Kelly, so she knew what my... She knew where I'm at.
Somebody else has got to guide you. I know. Hold you by the hand.
Yeah, I know.
And make sure you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, well, hey, I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you very
much.
Thank you. Hopefully we'll see you next year. excuse me. Sorry, a little
subtly tickle
in my throat there. See you next time.
Absolutely.